Dropped into Juice Box Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Hey, don't touch that dial. You're exactly where you want to be. You've landed in Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR with Julia Saunders, the wonderful Julia, and of course the fabulous Caroline McGillivray. We are here to guide you through this wonderful, wonderful hour.
Yes, and tonight's show is all about ethical dating.
Yes.
I'm sure you've gotten the hang of picking up now, everyone, Juicebox listeners. I know. We've been talking a lot about picking up. We've been talking a lot about meeting that special someone, getting that first date. But what do you do? How do you get to know each other a little better? Like, how do you sort of navigate that kind of multiple dating situations that you might be find yourself in, where you've got like two or three on the go at the moment, and maybe one of them is more interesting to you, maybe one of them you're ready to have sex with, maybe one of them you've sort of only had a couple coffee dates with, but you're not really ready to get exclusive with any one of them at this point, and so you're trying to be ethical about this whole thing. How honest are you? How do you get through this without the sort of, you know, minimal drama, minimal pain, minimal guilt, and minimal confusion inflicted on yourself and others? How do you go about this? That's what the show's going to be about tonight.
And we're going to be taking calls, so feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation we're going to be having. So do call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
There we go. I had your voice down there too much.
Oh, that's all right.
Got you on now.
It's nice and low. As long as they can hear me, I'm happy.
So Caroline and I had a little bit of dinner before we got here, and we're both having a bit of stomach issues. So if you hear what sort of slurring in our voice, it's not the martinis we had before getting on air. It's actually the food. The food is bugging us.
The food anyway, was pretty scary. Stay away from that sushi restaurant.
Well, let's not name it. I always might get sued. What did you do this past weekend, Caroline?
Well, I spent some time at the Taboo Sex Show, which is the big sex expo or sexpo or whatever you want to call it in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. I went as well with a man that I'm dating who actually spurned this conversation that we're having tonight around ethical dating because we had a bit of a situation happen on Saturday night. And so we're going to be talking about that later in the show.
Well, I'm curious
I learned something about myself and about all that. So that and the Taboo Sex Show sort of...
That's so you're going to tease me and not tell me what happened,
no,
are you?
I'll tell you later.
Well, you did tell me over dinner, but I felt like sharing with our listeners because I'm a gossip queen, we'll as you know.
We'll get into it. So the usual suspects were at the Taboo Sex Show, weren't they? I mean, the sex stores, the usual people that have been there every year for the last 7 years, they were there. But there were some new booths and some new faces and some people that we picked up some... I got some networking done, and we got some, I think the sex ed with the twist, Laska, she does these adult home parties. I'd like to have her on. She seems really fun and interesting.
Well, she's actually really exciting, so hopefully in the next few weeks we'll be able to have her. She wanted to, she's doing a little bit more research right now, but it looks like we're going to be talking about sex with bigger people and different positions, different
Sounds
sex
good.
Toys and all that, so it should be pretty fun.
Have you ever been
to one of her sex parties?
No, I have not. She asked me to work with her last year, and I was like, yeah, that sounds great, but I just, finishing my master's and all the other stuff I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like my salon, which, by the way, listeners, we have another date. We just finally cemented a location March 15th, Saturday this time at Academy Duello. We're going to be having a location. So stay tuned for more information
on that.
What was
the date for that?
March 15th. The Ides of March, just like last year. But this year it's going to be on a Saturday night, not a Thursday.
I love it. No, I think it's great. What is the... Ballin Brazilian?
Balls and all, or Brazilian. I thought that was great marketing. It wasn't just because it was my favorite color green that it was on the marketing, but they
what
had balls and all, or
Brazilian.
So basically it was a waxing or laser treatment that basically takes all the hair off from everything from your all around your rectum to the balls.
And what did they charge for that?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We can't talk about
and Brazilian is like doing all the labia and the kazif and...
I love that word.
That's a real technical word. That's a biological medical word.
What is that? Paint me a picture.
Because if it wasn't there, just be one big hole.
Oh, Julia. Okay, I wish I didn't ask. You just gave me the scariest image in my head.
Oh, my God. That was not the professional sex educator in me talking. Okay. That was my little brother.
If Eddie could only hear you, baby.
Okay. Anyway, there's also the Terminal City Roller Girls. They were really fun, though. They were there kind of roaming around and giving their marketing. That was really cute.
And they're pretty great. You can actually see them on City TV. They're in one of the commercials, actually. Air on IR, so you get to see them just parading around the city. There was some great stuff there, but I'm very curious because, Julia, you saw different things than I did at this show. You have the Red Light Center was there,
I
want to know about this because we had them on last year.
Yes,
and
we did.
All they could do was go on about the dancing.
Yeah, well,
for those of you who haven't heard about this, they have where you can have your alter ego or what were they called?
I can't remember right now.
But basically, you could build your own character. So if you wanted to be a 6'4" black man and fuck little tiny Asian women or whatever, you could do that.
Split them in half or split their cervix like you know.
They
had this massive multiplayer 3D sex game going on there with 6 different TV and I was like, hey, Red Light Center, but I was actually afraid to even go up to them. I just avoided it.
It was quite entertaining,
but
the dancing.
There was some major whoopee going on in the show. I mean,
really?
In the different screens, and I think that they've kind of elevated to beyond a dancing and whatever else.
So you can spend more time than just dancing for 10 hours on the computer.
No, I think that they're doing some hard fucking in the show. Anyway, or in the Red Light Center, so they've been getting juicier and juicier. However, I don't think the people on the 3D people are all that convincing, but I'm not, I'm just learning about painting, so my artistic talents are quite limited.
Interesting.
But I sort of look at these 3D characters and think, they're not that sexy to me, but, I do like animation, so maybe I should check it out. I don't know. I've always wanted to be a 6-foot black guy with a big cock. Why not?
I think it'd be interesting. I did something this weekend that I was a virgin to before.
Uh-huh.
I got flogged for the first time.
Oh. And you also did the orgasm contest up at the main stage.
Yes, I did.
And did you not? What happened to you, Caroline?
Well, let's see. There was 5 of us. Number 4 actually did quite well. He had a Hispanic accent that I cannot do very well. And he was like,
was this contest?
It was who could give the best fake orgasm. And I faked and I kicked ass. I won, of course.
Okay,
I did.
Well,
but I had to top this man who did it before me, which I thought he was going to beat me because he was pretending to fuck this side of the stage. So I had to top him. So I got down on my back and I was wearing my little schoolgirl skirt and I started shaking my legs in the air. And they took the mic away from me by the time I got to orgasm number three. Wow. So it was, we got all that practice last year when we were doing the vagina monologues.
Yeah, that was a good show. Yeah.
So it kept us going. And I actually won a bondage bar.
Oh my gosh.
So Julie, I may have to ask you how to use it.
Well, I've never been tied up personally, so I don't actually, never.
You're kidding,
I know, nobody ever believes me, but I've never been tied up, not even with like little ropes around my wrists.
Wow, I've been trounced up like a chicken before, which I didn't enjoy, and I've managed to slice my hands open with handcuffs it was very painful and they weren't put on properly. But
I think you're a bit of a kinky girl, Caroline. There's more and more about you that I'm learning, actually.
Really? You think I'm kinky?
Yeah.
I'm a sweet, innocent thing, actually.
Right, on the outside. Anyway, so...
I make a great schoolgirl.
You have been a good schoolgirl since I met you when you were six.
That's true, I have.
Okay. So one of the things I did notice quite a bit about, which is what we've been doing our show about lately, is sort of this trend of prepping men to pick up and be the best man they can be, these like lifestyle transformations, empowering men to succeed group. You know, all defined partners are to pick up and these attraction coaching. There was man meets woman. And we've actually had dating coaches on the air lately, a couple of them, Dan Six, and then last week, Zach Broman. So, Caroline, I think we wanted to give our two cents, didn't we, on this whole topic?
Guys talking about a lot of great things. There's some really lovely things that have been out there, like the lifestyle transformation, for example, where it actually empowers the entire man, as opposed to that, which we hopefully will have Jason on the show one day.
Right, yes.
So we'll talk about that at the time. But definitely today, we are going to be talking about our own two cents. Definitely. And Julia's just killing herself laugh.
I think...
And anyway, how to date more ethically is our topic is for tonight.
Okay.
So, Julie, you put the show together today.
I did.
And you have some really great research.
Thank you very much. And
so
actually,
why don't we start with that?
It's a lot of my own opinion, but I kind of thought, you know, you and I talked briefly today earlier, and we sort of thought, well, communication is absolutely critical. I mean, honestly, you've got to be courageous, you've got to be clear, succinct, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk a little bit about communication. We're going to talk about being an effective listener. I think it's really important. People don't know how to listen. I can't believe how many people are bad listeners and the world is terrible.
What did you say?
And then we're gonna talk about, like, one of the things that came up in my mind. I thought, well, how would you like to be treated? I think that's a pretty good rule of thumb. How would you like to be treated on your dating life?
It depends.
Do you want to be, like, treated ethically, honestly? Do you want people to, like, make you feel special when you're on a date, that you actually mean something to them? Or do you just want to have a good time and, you know, anything goes as long as you're upfront about it? Like, I mean, how do you want to be treated? So this was something I was like, okay, well, that's kind of a good one to look into. And then I sort of thought about how to sort of get to know people. Because this, like, myself personally, doing a lot of dating, you get kind of tired of, like, so, do you have a brother or sister? Where do you grow up? You know, what are you interested in doing? What's your past life and work and blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, it's just same old, time and time again. So I think, I started looking into, like, some interesting ways to get to know your partner and some conversation pieces. So we're going to talk about that. And then a breaking up. Which you have to be good at. To be an ethical dater, you have to learn how to let people down easy or to get the warning signs of somebody falling in love faster than you're falling in love with them and how to deal with that ethically. And then how to, like, deal with, like, you falling in love more than they are and how to sort of handle your feelings and all those things. So these are all very salient topics for my personal life right now.
All right. Well, we'll go there.
So that's what we're going to talk
about
today.
I do want to just touch one thing just in case anybody's never heard our show before. Definitely start with a criteria list first so you know what you want. And from there, it's a lot easier to communicate with somebody, both listening and speaking to them, if you know what you want right from the get-go, because it's easier to see what that person has to say and see if that fits into what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, you don't want to waste their time or yours.
That's right.
So you really do need to know what you're looking for. And if you're just exploring to see what it is, that's okay too.
Why don't we just bring our resume to the date and then just sort of say, hey, here we go, okay? And check, check, check. No.
But that's all about work sometimes.
That's where you pay the $500 dating services to do that for you. Okay, so the most important point we're talking about is communication.
Definitely.
Now, some of these tips, I'm talking about it from this relationship counselor named Richard Nicastro. He's from the States. I found his stuff to be very succinct, so I sort of threw it in there and I added some flavors myself to it. Communication is the foundation of any relationship. Doesn't matter if it's the beginning of a new one, business, doesn't matter. Any relationship. communication is it. Without it, you can't really have a relationship. So really reciprocal communication, if you have it, if it's healthy, your relationship will continue to evolve in a positive direction. So from the very beginning all the way through, communication is by far the area that I was saying earlier we need to be courageous about, we need to be clear about, and we need to be forthright. So not just waiting for someone to ask you the questions, but to be forthright about the information that you're going to tell. So it's important for all of us to understand the fundamentals so that we can apply them in our relationships. And it's easy to lose sight of these fundamentals and wonder why your relationship's in trouble. So follow me on the following. The basics are all conversations involve a speaker. There's a person sending the messages and a listener, which is the person receiving the messages. And you need different skills for each one of these roles.
That's true. And I love the way you put it. For some reason, it made me laugh when I read that earlier, even though it's very, very true. An effective speaker without an effective listener is kind of like a billboard in a desert. So if nobody can read it, you know, there's no point. communication always breaks down when you or your partner fail to use the different skills needed in the respective roles of listener and speaker.
Yeah. So there's fundamentals, and so the ABCs of an effective speaker are acknowledgement. So starting with your needs. So if you're speaking, your goal is to know what your needs are.
Yes,
to acknowledge your needs.
Which is why you need a criteria list.
Yeah, and then share them with your partner. Not necessarily to shine a spotlight on your partner. For instance, if you're frustrated with your partner's failure to help out, you know, around the house, this is sort of into a relationship, obviously, you might say, I've been doing most of the cleaning and it feels unfair to me. I need us to be a team and work together around the house. Instead of, you never help me, like, what did you do all day? I've heard myself say that a few too many times. or in the dating world, so as you so eloquently suggested by Zach Broman last week, I'm willing to date exclusively, but I don't do that easily or quickly. So this is like being forthright, saying, you know, you may have different ideas about how this relationship's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to date exclusively right away. You may be a jealous, possessive person, et cetera, et cetera. You don't necessarily have to say all that stuff. But if the speaker is forthright and says, this is what I'm looking for in this beginning time or any time, whatever it might be, this is what's going on for me.
That's true. The B is body language. Be aware of how you send your messages. So all communication starts with the what. So you really have to know what the content of your message is before you're going to do it and how you deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
Body language is the how.
And your choice of words, obviously,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. Very gentle with that. The tone, the volume of your voice is key. And also watching your facial expression. I think this is one of the reasons they suggest breaking up in person.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that way, somebody can not just get your voice, the tone, and all that, even though we'll get a lot of that if you're doing it over the phone, and much better than an email.
Mm-hmm. Emails are, they don't have those non-verbal communications.
Definitely.
They don't have the body language. They don't have the kind of doughy eyes, like, I really, really like you, and this is hard for me to say.
Exactly. Or the posture where you've got your arms crossed and your body's turned away, your crotch is turned away from them with your legs crossed. All that. It's all those things.
So what about the crotch?
If it's crossed, so it's not exposed.
Oh. So if I open my legs to a person and said, I'm not sure if I really feel like dating you anymore.
I think you're sending mixed messages,
okay,
baby.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's kind of like apparently when a woman's really interested in a man, their arms open up and their palms go up. And so they look
to
like
receive the cock of the...
pretty much.
I'm sorry, that's very heterosexual. Or the breast. Okay, sorry. I'm
like
just
Jesus.
In a dirty mood. I think I'm having
you are in a dirty mood, but I mean, what, do you want somebody to tie you up on a cross and fuck you?
No.
Fuck you. Sorry, am I being sacrilegious?
Don't talk
perhaps
like that.
I am. Okay, sorry.
Anyway,
God.
Okay, and
Father
clarity. The ABCs of communication, of an effective speaker, of being an effective speaker, is to also be clear. Yes, keep your messages simple and consistent. I think this consistency is something that I have had struggles with in the past. Any of my past relationships could probably.
Give me an example.
Well, I change my mind a lot, and
okay,
one day to the next, I've been inconsistent with where I want to go with things, and so I've driven some men nuts, actually. So the message needs to be clear and easy to understand. You know, the partner's going to be confused. I think we always over-talk things as well.
Yes.
Like we say something, then we repeat it for the third time in a different way, in a different, you know, like a lawyer, you know, like you say it four different, like a politician, you say it like four different ways, and you, because the other person doesn't say anything back to you, so then you keep on filling the air with more and more of the same thing. Don't do that. Just like say it once and say it with compassion or whatever, and then just let the silences happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think the one thing I want to do,
You have to know what you want to say before you
yes,
say
you do.
It. You need to know what you're going to say before you say it.
Definitely.
But I think you need to jump to topic, girl. You jump around.
I'm a bubble thinker. I always come back to everything, but I do go back and forth, definitely. Mm-hmm. One thing I did want to mention, though, is men and women do communicate differently.
Oh, yeah?
And that's one thing.
Can you tell me a little bit about that, Carly?
I certainly can. Where men... you're laughing at me. Men tend to be really upfront.
There's like 20,000 books about this. I'm just wanting to hear your examples.
I know, but just simple things like men, for example. And everybody, all the men are coming to look at what I have to say, so I find this very interesting.
We have a couple of men in the house, by the way, and they're not going to say who they are, but there are some sausages in the box right now.
Julia, you crack me sometimes. I think I've lost my train of thought. But with that, men tend to say what they mean a lot of the times. It's true. They do. We just tend not to listen because as women, we tend to listen to their tone of voice and we overanalyze everything. Women, and I'm speaking in generalities.
I don't think men say what they mean very often, to be honest with you. I think they speak in circles. They talk around the bush. I mean, they beat around the bush and they talk in circles. I don't know very many men who ever say what they mean.
I hear a lot of men.
Unless they're in business with you, then they say what they mean. But if they're in relationship with you, they'll beat around the bush. They'll not speak directly. This is a problem with men. You can believe what they do.
Yes.
Always believe what
always
a man does.
Always watch their action, but don't watch
what they're saying.
Yeah, but the thing, though, with that is they're very honest about certain things, where if they don't want a relationship and they say it, I've watched too many females, and I've made this mistake myself, where it's like, oh, I don't want a relationship. Okay, I'll just wash your socks for you, and I'll do this. And, you know, you basically get so in their life that they can't live without you, and they realize that. And then one day they wake up and they realize they're totally, truly, madly, deeply in love with you. And that is my secret, my deep, dark secret of how to get men. But then by that point, I've realized I don't really want them anymore.
Yes,
so it's not a very healthy
thing. Stepping up, were they, from the beginning? So
no.
It's hard to respect that. Okay, well, I'm speaking generally, and let's get off the generalizations at the moment because I'm feeling a bit bitter. Okay, so the ABCs.
All right.
Okay, the ABCs of an effective listener. So we're talking about how there's these two roles. There's the receiver. I mean, there's the speaker and there's the listener.
Yes.
The receiver. So the ABCs of the effective speaker are acknowledgement, body language, and clarity. The ABCs of the effective listener are attentiveness. So be attentive and focus your energy on your date's message, your partner's message. As a listener, your job is to show that you're interested in what your partner or date is saying. This occurs through common sense courtesy, like not answering the phone or checking email or texts while your partner is speaking.
I'm very guilty of that.
I've heard lots of people tapping away when I'm on the phone with them. And through the unspoken messages you send with body language, like eye contact, nodding when appropriate, sitting up straight, not fidgeting, and not sort of, you know, looking all around you and actually looking at their eyes. So the B's are?
To bite your tongue.
Yes.
Your job as a listener is to understand your partner's point of view.
Yeah. So there's a saying of take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. I think that's a good saying.
Definitely.
Yes,
and
listen.
As
quiet.
A listener, don't interrupt or talk over your partner, even if you don't agree with what he or she's saying. Don't plan your retort the entire time your partner's speaking, because when you do that, you stop listening. So try and work on being receptive and open to what your partner's message, rather than contemplating counter arguments.
Which I see a lot of people doing. You can just tell that they can't wait to have their chance to talk, that they're already trying to form what they're going to say in response to something, and they stop listening. And I notice that happens so often. It's crazy. It's really, really a bad habit that we've gotten into. You seem to be doing the same thing right now.
Perhaps I am.
Okay, so are you going to tell me what your counter-argument is then?
I just want to add in there, one of the easier ways to do that is actually try and use their language. It's something from Harville Hendrick's book, How to Get the Love. Yes.
Okay.
And you phrase it in their language. And if there's something that, say you tell me something about me that I don't like to hear, and take a nice deep inhale. And when I breathe it back, I'll change the tense. So changing like so you think whatever, and I'll repeat your sentence exactly using the words you've used just to make sure. And A, that will make you feel that you've been listened to. And B, I also take it in a deeper level.
Mm. So these are interesting tips for maybe the deeper relationship stuff. I think we're talking early dating as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. That's a good one. And then sometimes it can sound super harsh. So the person hears those words again, they're like, oh, actually, I didn't quite mean it like that. But yeah, maybe in an argument, that would be especially effective. Mm-hmm. And then the C's of listening is curiosity and clarification. So I think communicating genuine interest, but also when appropriate, like when your partner is in the middle of a statement, showing genuine curiosity or wanting clarification by asking questions. So clarifying their needs or interests. The quicker that you get to know what those partners' interests are or needs are, the sooner you're going to know if you're compatible and if you're interested in continuing to see them. So always ask as many questions as you can. And later on in the relationship, when things get a little more involved, you don't have to be Dr. Phil. I mean, the most powerful questions are pretty simple. Are you okay? What can I do? How can I help? That kind of thing. So curiosity and clarification. They're going to feel that you're engaged and you're interested. So these ABC models can go a long way. We have to thank Richard Nicastro for that. StrengthenYourRelationship.com. Share these ideas. Practice taking turns as a speaker or listener. Before you know it, your communication ABCs will become a habit. And your relationship or marriage will reap the benefits. So anyway, so I thought that was an important first point. We talked about communication.
It's good as I interrupt you. We talked about the speaker and the listener. One of the things you're mentioning, which I thought was really cool, is how would you like to be treated? And I think it's really important to think about those things. What do you like? And treat your partner the same way.
So, like, for me, you know, when out on a date, like, don't stare at or flirt outrageously with other people, getting their numbers, or worse, like kissing someone while you're on a date with someone else. I think that's really over the top, never a good idea. But, you know, because your dates want to feel special, and respect is really critical. If you're still looking for somebody else, and, you know, your date is great and you're enjoying their time, but you're sort of maybe keeping your options open and you're sort of still looking for other dates. I mean, I've done that lots in my life. And you can manage to get away with this without your date seeing this or knowing. Perhaps, you know, grab a chance while you can. But do know that if you get caught, it's going to look really bad on you. And, you know, you may risk not seeing that person again because they're going to feel not respected, right? So it's going to take a pretty mature and understanding person to kind of get over that. I've had that happen to me. And I did it once, like even recently on a date like a couple months ago. I picked up this guy and got his phone number. And this other guy I was on the date with saw me. And he was just like really quite offended, as understandably. Quite horrified by my behavior. And for me, I was thinking, well, I'm never going to maybe see this other person again, so I've got to take a chance when I can. But it did cost me not seeing that date that I was on again. I mean, he was just like, well, I'm not interested in... Because, I mean, you just don't feel very special, right? So this is kind of a hardwired, I think, rule. I think we should both women and men need to pay attention to, for sure. You know, you want to make your date feel special, even if it's just a short-term recreational thing, even if it's just your only date and you're going to be on the only date. I mean, and you don't plan on seeing them even one more time. You know, have the courtesy to make them feel special, that they mean something at that moment, and be polite.
Definitely. Right? Manners are very key. The other thing is also pay attention to the way that they treat you, because that also gives you clues on how they like to be treated too. For example, say it's somebody who opens the door for you, or they come in and they know you're working late, so they go out of their way to make you dinner, say, for example, as then that's a date. Perhaps later on you know that they like being taken care of, and the way to treat them right and their version of right would be to provide acts of service. So for them, a dinner would be really nice, whereas somebody else it might be...
Acts of service, like a blowjob?
That could be good.
Okay.
Or some people like flowers or romance. There's different ways they like being services and treated right. So those kinds of things. Just keeping in mind. So, you know, just...
So these sounds like, you know, rules of dating that would go with men or women. But why do you think these dating rules are so different for men and women? I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about which ones are so glaringly different. I mean, tips for girls dating men. If he calls and you aren't available... Return the call. I mean, it's polite, it's friendly, it's the right thing to do. If you like him, this may be his only time to ask you out, and if you wait too long, he may think you're interested. If you aren't interested, call him anyway. It's the right thing to do, and at some point, you have to learn to do the hard things in life, such as telling a nice guy, I like you, and thanks for asking me out again, but I didn't feel we had enough in common to move on to a second date. So, ethical communication. But that's kind of, I think, either way, guys or girls that goes with. But I think these tips, that if you had a great date and he doesn't call you, this is like, should you call him the next day and thank him? No. Right? No. I hope you thanked him the night before the date. Now you have to wait. So this is these games, these is rules and stuff. I know you and I had this debate over dinner, but honestly, I have been doing this thing for years, and it works really well that you do not call. You do not call them. Like, just, they call you. They call you every time for the first, like, month until you start getting some kind of concrete situation happening where you know they're interested. You know that they want to see you repeatedly. Just don't call them.
I text them, actually.
It's just like, every time I do, it's just never works. So I don't know. But, and you see this in all the rule books. It's like, girls, don't call them.
I text them. And I just say thank you. And I do it usually the night of, so that's done. But I do that.
Well, texting is a little bit less personal.
Exactly.
But I think that, you know, why are there rules? Well, why is a man that who should call after a date? Hasn't the world changed? Like, you think, like, well, of course the world's changed in many wonderful ways. But calling after a date isn't one of them. And that's not a bad thing. I think every game has rules, and the dating game is no different. So play by the rules, and everyone is comfortable. It's kind of like restaurant and other kinds of etiquette. The world runs smoother this way. But I also think that men really like the chase. Men are kind of different. They like that thrill of the chase. They want to chase you. I don't know. I've talked to a lot of men about this, and they totally feel that way. They want to do all the chasing in the beginning and let them chase you until you catch them.
Well, it goes back to the caveman days. They want to basically club us over the head and drag us off to the cave with their hair.
I don't know.
It's true.
I don't.
It's the crow man. You woman, me man. Ha ha ha! I take you back to my cave.
Well, one of the things I do like is if he doesn't call you after a date, then you know that he doesn't want to go out with you again.
That's true.
At least not now. And I mean, that's a bit of a bummer, but it does free you up to move on to other ones.
Yep, he's just not that into you, so let him go because there'll be somebody else better out there.
But I wish it didn't have to be this way. But I mean, I really don't like it. But it's a rule, an unfortunate rule that has been continuously confirmed for me. And as much as I don't like it, because a lot of the women I know tend to be in a bit of a hurry sometimes, and, you know, but let the men do the chasing, please. Men, have some balls and chase, will you? Because we're waiting. I'm just crying out loud. This is a two-day rule and all this business. It's like, oh, my God. Anyway, okay, communication. Critical. We all have to talk and send signals, or we won't know what to do and we won't know what's going on. And I think some men, and there's basic psychology of gender differences that can make it or break it in the dating game. The more that you understand them, the better off you're going to be. So, girls, if you really are dying to talk about the night before, call a friend. Like, tell her the good, the bad, the ugly, then go to the gym, do some work, or call another friend, or go have a life. I mean, the more you do that, the less you're going to care if he calls. And the happier you're going to be whether he does or not. Life is not lived on your cell phone, by the way. I know, I'm pretty bad. Go do something and see how interesting you are to him when he does call, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, for guys, I guess my advice to you really is just, if you like a girl, don't play this waiting game business. Just tell her and go out again and, you know, whatever. Leave a message. Say you had a good time and you'd like to see her again and you'll call next week. Even if you have no intention of, like, calling for another 2 or 3 days, like, just make the courtesy call. I don't know what's going on. Is it in CD1, hon?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're having a technical difficulty
just
right now.
CD1 on and there we go. There you go. Now you can switch it. See, now it's on. What number do you want? 1 or 2, 3? Do you know? Which one?
Don't care.
There you go. I don't even know what we're playing. What are we playing? The CD here. What
does it say? We are playing a CD.
It's called Better Friends Than Lovers.
Which Julie thought was appropriate, and I think she's right.
That's perfect.
We'll be back after write this.
Okay, hold on. It's by Hipposonic Studios Vancouver. Hey, right on. Recorded and mixed by Amy Worobek, assisted by Lisa Nazarenko, and mastered by George Swan. These three look like they're having a really good time. So what are we playing? Sailor? No, what are we playing? Forget Everything.
Forget Everything. I guess that's pretty appropriate with when we're talking about communication between men and women.
Keep that dial locked. We welcome your calls during this time especially. So call in to 604-822-2487. That is 604-UBC-CITR. You are in Juice Box, featured on Vancouver's 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
And we're back.
All right. Welcome back to Juicebox Radio. We're talking about ethical dating, the reality check. Now, during the break, we had a fabulous caller with some comments. Caller, are you on the air?
Yeah. So I was just wondering if the public could call in with their opinions, because I know there's, you know, quite a variety of strategies out there. And some women like to just go get it. And some guys like to wear their hair up in a bun and be more passive. And
I do this myself, actually, and I actually date the men with the buns, and I usually am the one who's going after them. So.
There you go. Good for you. So, yeah, just sort of the strategy.
Less 1950s, you were saying. Less 1950s and more juicy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you're having problems with the few rules that I mentioned around communication and being sort of clear and upfront about things?
I think it's really important to be clear and upfront and... you know, to be honest about what our intentions are in dating and, you know, connecting and how quickly that can change and depending on what the connection is.
Okay.
So openness, I think, is vital. When you call and all that stuff is, I just think it's a little unfair for women to kind of, you know, have this sort of weight thing and the guys chasing and...
Have you tried doing both?
Or are you usually
a go-getter girl?
I don't usually keep it cut and dry for myself.
Okay.
I like to keep it juicy and sort of keep myself guessing. So it's been varied.
Have you been successful at the chasing?
Usually with the if I'm doing any sort of... it's a bit mutual, but as far as, you know, calling someone, I usually don't care that much about them anyway, so it's more about the booty call kind of thing.
Right, yeah. Get what you need and get out, okay.
Yeah, exactly, like these low-maintenance men, which, you know, I care a little bit about, but, you know, usually it's just the body parts.
As long as the cock works. Okay, well, this is very helpful.
And the mouth.
Okay, in and out. Okay,
well, I like to be pleased.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, darling, thank you for calling, and listeners, if you have any comments you'd like to add in your own dating rules and your experience with dating, please do call us, and thank you.
Thanks for keeping it juicy.
Straight on. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, I was going to say we have some juice berries. I'm sure they're good ones.
We definitely do.
Tanya Diamond, our fabulous juice. Speaking of juicy.
And she's coming to town. I'm just trying to
speak into
where...
the mic, darling. Speaking to the mic, darling.
Talking.
Okay, she wants me to just keep talking. Tanya Diamond is our fabulous, juicy, sexual potential expert. She's incredible. And she's coming to town to do a workshop series. Now, she's invited Caroline and I to come. And I'm so stoked on going, except for this weekend I'm going out of town, so I have to miss it. But Caroline's going to go, and I'm sure we will have Tanya on another time. Maybe she'll call in next weekend.
I'm looking forward to it.
Caroline can actually go to the show. I mean, go to the... workshop, and then Tanya and her can have a nice chat about it next week, because I can't go to that. But I know Tanya's fabulous, and what are the names of the things she does? Tantric education. But I think, you know, for her, she was on her show that she was talking to us about. She was talking about transforming your sex life, not just around tantra, but around being present and being in bliss and learning how to sort of be in your power and communicate the kind of sex that you want more of. And sacred intimacy and all this kind of thing. So really powerful stuff. And she's going to be, I think her website is called what? I can't read it from here.
It's sexualtransformations.com.
Sexualtransformations.
I'm just trying to find the dates.
Sexualtransformations.com. Check it out yourself. Tanya Diamond, that's a really good juice berry. There's some kind of other thing happening. The
She's
Love and Grace Affair as well.
The Love and Grace Affair is coming up, and it's going to be pretty exciting.
Okay. It's perfect. So we're good. Anything else?
Perfect. I was just going to say with Tanya's workshops, it's January 19th and 20th.
Yeah, this weekend.
And that's going to be pretty exciting, actually.
It will be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't wait for you to report all about it next week, Caroline. So what else, babe? We've got 15 minutes, and what do we want to talk about?
Well, what do we got for the second half of the show?
Do we want to talk about how to get to know this person you're dating? Some of the questions you might ask? Do or do you want to just get right to the breaking up?
Well, since it's supposed to be about communications, about how to get to know somebody, let's start with that. Because we can always do a full show about breaking up. And we just did one not that long ago.
Did we? Oh, I wasn't here for
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah. With that. And with that, how do you get to know that person? And you've got some really great suggestions about, number one, people usually like to talk about themselves. And I think one of the key things is with that, it's because, obviously it's something they know a lot about, or hopefully they do. Because you do want
to... Some people don't know very much about who they are, but yes, hopefully they find it easy to talk about themselves, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And uh-huh. You're just going to be careful not to ask them really deeply probing questions right away.
Deep probing questions is what I'm expert at. And it doesn't go very well very often.
Really?
Well, not in the beginnings. Although sometimes it's worked well. For me, people get really intimate really quickly, and then they feel really comfortable. Then all of a sudden they say to me, I feel really comfortable with you, Julia. I'm like, I wonder why, because I know all your deepest, darkest secrets, and I haven't judged you, and I'm still sitting here dating you, so.
I think it's the key is open-ended questions, because even when we did the speed dating, I found that worked quite well, is not no yes, no questions. It was really open so that you could get somebody just chatting. Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really super key. You've also got this point about to try and talk about what really interests in the person and find out what they like to do. Which is good, but make sure it's something that interests you as well. So you're not, say, they're interested in going to see every Canuck game out there. Me, personally, that'd bore the crap out of me.
And you know what? I was brought up not to talk about what people do or ask them what they do. Mm. And we were talking about this at dinner, how you like to find out and ask what people do because you're excited about what you do. I am as well, but what I do, and it is a big part of my life for sure. Some people don't like to talk about what they do because they're in a social situation and they really don't like to talk about work because it bores them and they're not really into it. And they're kind of in a different situation. You would say that you want to date somebody who does enjoy what they do, mm-hmm. who does get excited about getting up in the morning and going to work.
I agree. Yeah, that's...
I don't really care as long as we have similar things in common, like we have similar interests, as long as they feel, passionate about something in life and that they have hobbies and that they have interests outside of work. I think, your life isn't all work. It shouldn't be all work.
It shouldn't be all work, but if they're doing something that is their 9-to-5 job, that basically is something they don't care to talk about because it's not something that they enjoy, it makes me wonder, do they settle for everything? And does that mean going out with me, they're settling? And I don't really want to date somebody who would settle because I want to be with somebody because I don't want to settle myself. I want to be with somebody that I really care about, and I want them to feel that way about me. So it starts with what you do for 8 hours a day. And if you're going to be settling there, you're going to be settling in other areas of your life. And why settle when you can have the most wonderful world?
I don't really agree. I know normally we don't disagree on the air quite outright like this, but I don't agree with you. I think that... sometimes our jobs are just our jobs, and they doesn't mean that you're settling. It means you make good money doing what you're doing, and it's something that you can let go of at the end of the day, and you can focus a lot of your energy and attention on your family and your relationships at home and outside of work. For some people that work a lot and they care a lot about what they do, they're so exhausted at the end of the day. They think about it all the time when they're on holidays or on weekends, and they're not actually in the relationship very well because they're so involved with their work. And you've had experience with this yourself. Being in relationship and not being very there for the relationship because you're so in bed and in love with your work.
That's true.
So there's a balance there. I don't necessarily think it's a settling thing, but it can be maybe. I mean,
it can be if they don't have anything else in your life. Some people like working at McDonald's.
I guess.
They might get free McNuggets.
I'd like to give you a McNugget later.
Anyway, a McNugget? That sounds like a sexual thing when you put it that way.
I always make things sound sexual. Okay, I'm good at it.
One thing I was going to say, though, is I do agree with your point that if they have other things that they're passionate about, that's one thing. But if they're not really happy and they spend their whole life complaining and they're just kind of a bland, banal person, I don't really want to be with that person.
That's right.
I want somebody who is excited to get up in the day. And whether it be because they like walking their dog, if that's something that they really get off on, hopefully not sexually. That's a good thing. Like, you know, I want to make sure they're happy about something because that's really important.
Yeah, yeah. And interesting that you were saying, don't worry that you'll be stuck with listening all night about something that people seem enthusiastic about or excited about, even if it is a Canucks game. You'll usually find out that if you have the courtesy to listen properly to people and engage with what they're telling you, rather than seizing the first opportunity to turn the topic of conversation into yourself, that the person you're going to be talking to will be happy to return the compliment and listen to you as well. And also, I think it's important to see, I mean, I've gone out on some dates with guys that seriously, they talk endlessly about themselves for like a 3/4 of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, am I going to see you again? No. I mean, geez, it doesn't matter if you're shy or nervous. Don't do that.
Some people do that because they are shy, though.
Well, yeah, you got to be aware of that. I mean, take a cue from the person. They haven't spoken in a long time and it's your first few dates. Like, it's one thing if you've got a lot on your mind and you're out with a friend and it's basically like you need to just dump and get it all off your chest and talk honestly. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But yeah, anyway, you're on the first few dates. You got to be kind of a bit more sensitive. Don't get stuck on one conversation topic. I like this one. Look around for inspiration. If you're at a party or you're visiting friends, there's a CD collection, there's paintings, there's ornaments that can raise good conversation topics. You might remark upon something that someone's wearing. All these things can be good conversation talks, but remember to keep your comments positive and complimentary because it's not really a good idea to be critical about what you see. As well as potentially causing offense, you also can cause the person to whom you're speaking to feel uncomfortable. And they may then want to move to speak to someone else or just not want to talk to you at all or not want to be on that date. So, you know, it's okay to criticize and, maybe a little bit of what people are wearing to kind of gauge a little bit about a person. But the first few 3 or 4 dates, you should probably just try to keep things positive and not get into the nasty critical side of who you are. I don't know. Anyway.
It depends.
Yeah.
It does. I've had some fun on dates where we've done the name game, which, have I ever played that with you, Julia?
Mm-mm.
Where you pick somebody who's in the crowd and you make up a story, a scenario about their life and who that person is.
No, it sounds like fun.
And it's very fun. And usually mine has a dark sexual side to it, which is...
Which tells a lot about you.
Yes, it does.
Interesting. That would be a good game to learn about somebody for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's quite fun. And it's a great way to incorporate your surroundings as well, which keeps it entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, which I learned in etiquette school, and I love the fact that you put this on here, is catching up on your current affairs and movies. So you have a lot to talk about. Be careful, too, though, in terms of political stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom, I know your mom said in terms of jobs, my mom was don't talk about sex or religion, which is funny because I talk about sex on air with you at least for an hour every week. And I talk about it continuously.
Well, people do like to talk about sex. It's pretty much across the board. I don't know many people who don't. So it's just context specific. If they're not comfortable in the situation, then they may not want to talk about sex. But generally, people do want to talk about it.
I just try not to talk about it right away. Because otherwise they start thinking about that and then they stop listening to everything else.
Oh, and it's also they think that you are as a sex object, right? And they can't wait to get you home and bonk you. Anyway,
they want to do that anyway.
Hopefully they do, but they don't make it obvious. Too obvious at the beginning anyway.
And if they do make it too obvious, you can listen to the podcast from last week with Zach.
Right.
He had some notes about that and take some dating workshops with him.
Right. So, another word of warning, unless you know the person, or that you know the story will be really appreciated, it's best advice to steer clear of stories of death or other kind of misery on your first 3 or 4 or 5 dates that you have with somebody and trying to get to know them.
Keep it
light, keep it positive. It's a pretty good bottom line. We have another caller and I'm afraid to answer it.
Let's go for it. Shall we?
All right. Yep. Turn it on. You're on the air with Juicebox Radio.
Oh, just a quick thought, you know. Before going on a date, get, like, a newspaper subscription.
Okay.
You know, honestly, like, there's a ton of stuff you can talk about.
Right. Current affairs, movies.
Oh, just read. It takes about 20 minutes every morning or something.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
good idea.
Then, you know, like, you can say, hey, I'm not a monster hockey fan, but... The pilot of that BOAC plane wouldn't let Pavel the Rocket Bourey on because they thought he was like a soccer hooligan.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know?
Fab.
What the hell?
Thank you.
You know,
Thank
it
you.
Was.
Thanks, caller.
You're
good
welcome.
Idea.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Thank
Bye.
You. Actually, I got that from etiquette school, too. They did
yeah.
actually recommend that.
Right on, right on. I like these good ideas, callers. Thank you. Okay, so what about if you think this person and you might not be working out? We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Oh, if they don't call you back, you know.
You know they're not interested. Don't call them. Don't text them either. What if you like and or are falling in love? What if they are really like you a lot or for falling in love with you more than you are with them?
I think you need to be really upfront with them in communication. Just tell them where you are. If you've just gotten out of a relationship, say, for example, I'm not ready to get really involved. I like you a lot, but this is all I can give you right now. Mm-hmm. And just be really direct with them. Mm-hmm. Or you can just tell them this is starting to make me feel a little bit uncomfortable and perhaps we should
cool it down a bit.
Yes, or just be friends. And if you really feel that it's being unfair to them because you can feel them falling in love with you, maybe it's better just to make it a nice clean break.
Mm-hmm.
I know we weren't going to talk about breaking up.
Well, we might take a break for a minute. Mm-hmm. What do you do if you start falling in love and you don't know or have a feeling that they are in the same place?
I think it depends on the situation. In some cases, it's good to talk about it.
I don't think you should tell them at all.
Really?
No.
Why?
Well, because I think you should just keep busy. You should just date others, whatever. I mean, I am so bad. I tell every single guy how I'm feeling. Like, every single time I've told the man that I'm totally falling for them and I'm crazy about them and I want to be with them and blah, blah, blah. I'm such an open book. It's really ridiculous. So I think, and it's just backfired. Every single time it's backfired.
I never tell them.
And the women I know that don't tell them and the people I know, actually, not just women, but the people in relationships that I know that they just say, don't ever tell them. Just wait until it's so obvious that you can both kind of get there at the same time.
I wait until they tell me.
Listeners, what do you think? Maybe you could email and let us know what you think about that. But you know what? I think that this breaking up thing sometimes implies this hard stop. And often it's just really a change in the nature of the relationship. It's not necessarily, I mean, when you said clean break, yes. But sometimes friendships can remain, but a closer physical connection or a desire to build a life together, for example, is taken away. I mean, I think trying to look at breaking up in a more positive way can help. You learn a lot about yourself and yourself in relationship. So breaking up doesn't necessarily have to be a hard stop. It can just be a change. I think that's important. You don't agree with me, Caroline?
I think it depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. It really does. There's sometimes where it's more fair to that person and it's fair to yourself to make it a nice clean break. I've had breakups where it was better that I need to take that time to get over that person. Mm. I've also had it where I've hurt that another person very badly by breaking up with them. And it, out of respect, I made sure I stayed clear out of their life so they mm-hmm. could take that time
yeah.
to heal. Because I think otherwise, if you try and be friends right away, sometimes it's not fair because they mm. see that as hope. Like, oh, maybe she still likes me because she's hanging out with me and stuff mm. like that. Mm-hmm. There's other breakups where a break, as you said, it's just a change in the mm-hmm. relationship.
Yeah.
Where you take that time and you realize, you know, I actually kind of liked having that person around and that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I think, yep.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that the change in the relationship thing is really an interesting way of looking at it because when you're dating multiple people and, you know, say, for example, you're kind of in and out with this one or two people that kind of, you know, are really interested in you, but they're sort of going through a lot or they're kind of, you know, on the rebound a little bit or they're kind of really focused on their work and they're really busy, but they actually like you and they'd like to see you again. They'd like to keep seeing you, but the timing's not that right. Timing's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of go in and out of like seeing each other and talking quite often to maybe just keeping in kind of distant contact and maybe talking on email once a week or seeing each other once a month or something. Facebook stalk them. But like, I think that these are kind of, like I said, like the changes in the relationship don't necessarily mean the relationship has to be over. It just means it's not going to be necessarily the same as it was before. So if you are in the dating world and you're interested in kind of exploring things with a certain person and the timing isn't necessarily right, try to just keep your emotions in check about it. Be honest and sensitive with each other. Don't react. And if you handle yourself well, well during this sort of change, chances are that you're going to avoid hard feelings, and that maybe that if the timing gets better down the road, your chances of making it work or getting, you know, back together or starting to date again is much more likely than if you, you know, don't keep your emotions in check and do overreact and do kind of get crazy and take them off Facebook and block them and all this business because you're pissed off that they don't want to see you that week or that month, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep yourself under control.
Definitely. The other thing is with the doing it in person, I just wanted to just bring up one more point. One of the things we talked about earlier was doing it. You were mentioning that you thought it was best to do it where it was less public. So then that way, in case they had a reaction. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on the relationship because sometimes I think it's better to do it in public because if you're afraid of them, if you think they're going to get psychotic or abusive, by all means, make sure you protect yourself.
Yep.
And
I agree.
I think out of all of this, one of the things I did want to tie in is really know what you want. Go in there with your criteria list. And I don't mean have it set in stone where it's like the movie Weird Science where you've kind of thrown everything in there where you've got your perfect man or women, but really decide what you want, like what kind of person you'd like, and make sure you stay true to yourself. There is compromise, and you want to listen and you want to respect another person, but you got to respect yourself as well.
Right.
And it starts with that. Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed the tonight show.
Good wrap up there, Caroline. I like that last message. The listeners, we're going to be back next week. Maybe we'll be talking about Tanya Diamond's workshops this weekend that you're going to attend one of them.
Yes, and the other thing we might be talking about, we might have Dave Dixon, who's the sex trade liaison from the Vancouver Police Department.
Oh,
he's just checking with the communication specialist there if it's okay if he can be on air.
Okay.
And talking about the women in the downtown east side, which we may not be able to talk about the Picton trial just because it's in right now, but we can talk about safety and some of the things that Vancouver Police Department is doing with the women in the downtown east side to keep safety for survival sex workers.
And other sex workers, good Lord, they all need support, you know, protection.
That's true.
Obviously the low track and the ones that survive.
Yeah, well, he specializes in that, so that's why it would be more of a focus on that for this one.
Sounds good. So email Caroline or I if you have comments about tonight's show or any other show at julia@juiceboxradio.com.
Do not email at caroline@juicebox because we don't know the password. And I forgive us if you have because we have not gotten back to you because we haven't checked it.
We're going to get all that fixed, I swear. I'm getting it all sorted out. I'm in business school right now and I'm making new websites. It's all going to be fancy in a bit. So stay tuned for Hans Claus's Misery Hour with Marion coming up next on CITR. He's a very sexy man to be miserable with. Let him guide you into the wee hours with his ambient collection of music and his super hot shoes. No, I mean his voice.
I got to return those shoes I bought today.
Thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio. We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Did you not see that?
I saw 10 o'clock. I said 10 o'clock.
10
o'clock. I laughed. That's why I was smiling. 10 o'clock or 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock. Honey.
10 o'clock? You like 10 o'clock?
From now on.
10 o'clock. I like cock.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.